You know, you read through the book of Psalms, there's a lot of times, especially with the Psalms of David, there's a lot of times that you see as David or whoever the speaker might be, there's a lot of times you see, but especially David, that David will start a psalm and he's talking about just the problems, the difficulties. You can hear the uncertainty in his voice. He chronicles the problems. He chronicles the issues that are at hand and even specifies, you know, these are the things that just show that disaster is looming right around the corner. But then often by the end of that psalm, you're going to see David speaking words of faith and speaking words of joy and speaking words of peace. Now, nothing has changed yet. He's still in the middle of the same psalm, but there's a change that takes place in David. And usually those things are associated with the praise that comes from David. And a great illustration of that comes from Psalm 71. And this is a prayer of deliverance. And as you're going through the psalm, you can just see that it's talking about some of the problems that are coming. As we get to verse number 10, "For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver." So this is what, you know, the psalmist is feeling at this point, feeling like everything is working against me. Those who are conspiring against me are close to seizing me. Certainly this is a psalm where what he's talking about is all the disasters that are prevalent. As we drop down a few more verses, verse number 13 says, "Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me." So this is what he's realizing. This is what's taking place. This is what's coming. Verse number 14. "But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more." So the psalmist is realizing that those who are conspiring against him are coming together in a uniformity against him. And that in the natural world, to look at it, they're very close to being able to bring him down, to seize him, to bring him down. These are the realities that he's facing. And yet, he says, in spite of that, "But as for me, I will hope continually and I will praise you yet more and more." So even though the psalmist is saying, if I look at things in the natural world, it's not looking really positive. In fact, if I look in the natural world, those who would desire to bring me down, those who would desire to bring my destruction and my defeat, it appears that the opportunity for them to do that is present. It appears that all things, as I look in the natural, it appears that all things are lined up, that those who desire to bring me down now have the opportunity to do just that. That's what it looks like in the natural. But what does he say after he specifies all that? "But as for me," here's the choice that we have, "but as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more." So even though by looking at things and seeing things in the natural, even by looking and seeing that those who are conspiring to bring about his destruction now apparently have the opportunity to do that, as for me, he's making a choice. He's saying, there's choices. I can either concede to those things. I can either try to rectify the situation in my own strength, my own wisdom, and my own ability. I can try to form allegiances. There's all kinds of things I can do at this point. But as for me, this is what I choose to do. At that moment of calamity, as for me, this is what I choose to do. I will praise you yet more and more. And so we see this is in the early portion of Psalm 71. And in this early portion, psalmist is realizing destruction appears in the natural to be inevitable. But once he states that fact, the next thing he says is, but here's my choice. In spite of all of that, I still choose to praise you, Lord, yet more and more. Now, when we look at things in our life, and maybe there's something you're facing today that looks like it's all coming to a head, and it looks like in the natural, there can be no positive outcome that is a result of it. It looks like in the natural, destruction is imminent. You know, whether it's with your health, whether it's with your job, whether it's with a legal thing that you have going on, if it's something with your family, if it's something in your life that you can't control, but you see that it's mounted, you've tried to evade it, you've tried to stop it, but it is built up, it's mounted, it's now at that place where it's all about to fall on you. You can either just accept that, or you can make the same choice, which goes against the natural mind. You can make the same choice that we see in Psalm 71. You can make the choice to not just praise the Lord, but to praise him yet all the more. Now, let's be honest. When you face difficult situations and you face trials that seem to be coming to an apex, they're at the point where calamity is just about to fall. How many times, seriously think about this, how many times have you ever at that moment turned to the Lord and just said, I praise you? And I've been praising you, but I'm going to praise you all the more. That's what the psalmist is saying. Now, again, as we read Psalm 71, and this is kind of iconic because we see this theme again and again in the Psalms, but we see here that as the psalm begins, the writer is sharing, here's what the difficulty is, here's the bad news, here's what the natural world appears, here's what looks like is going to, this is what apparently is going to happen, and it's not good at all. And yet he still praises the Lord. But then when you get to the end of the psalm, we see something different from the psalmist. We see the words that are changing. Let me go back and show you again the words that we see from verses 10 and 13. For my enemies, this is spoken as a statement of fact. For, not this might happen, this is what is happening. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together. So he's saying that my enemies have already conspired against me. They're looking to take my life from me, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there was no one to deliver. So the enemies are saying, this is the time, this is the opportune moment to bring him down, because there's no one to deliver him. He's vulnerable, he's weak, this is our moment, let's strike. He's not saying this could be. He's saying this is exactly what is happening. Then in verse number 13, let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Now, he's not saying that that has happened. He's saying this is what he's believing will happen. So even though by natural appearances, by everything he can see and determine with his natural eyes and his senses, those who desire his destruction, those who have consulted to bring him down and even take his life, now have the opportunity to do so, and they are moving forward in that opportunity. That's reality. But what his words say is, let those who are the adversaries. He's got no evidence to support this. He's just saying, let those who are the adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. Now, he's got no evidence to that. He's just saying this in faith to the Lord. Then he concludes that with his statement that I read about his hope being in the Lord and his praising him all the more. His making the choice. But as for me, I will hope continually. He specified what the hope was. He spoke what that hope was. And now he's praising the Lord. And a result of that is we go down through the rest of Psalm 71, we now see the conclusion of the psalm. Nothing's changed. It's the same psalm. But this is what changes inside the one who is writing the psalm. What changes inside of him is he has spoken what his faith is, what he believes. He's spoken what he believes God will do, and he's praising God and thanking God for what he'll do. Now listen to the change of heart that takes place by the end. I'm going to start reading from verse number 22. I will also praise you with a harp, even your truth, O my God. To you I will sing praises with my lyre. O Holy One of Israel, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. Now, bear in mind, again, this is still the same psalm. He's already specified and spoken. This is what's happening. At this moment, those who mean to bring about his destruction, those who have intended and planned, they are now beginning to have their plan unfold. This is already taking place. And yet, my lips will shout with joy when I sing praises to you. And my soul, which you have redeemed, my tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long. For they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt. Now, nothing's changed, except what has changed is the psalm writer has done several things. Disaster is imminent. But this is what he did. He chose to put his hope in God. And in that hope, he believed that those who had planned, which is impossible in the natural, those who are planning his destruction, have opportunity to bring about his instruction and are now implementing that instruction. His hope is in the Lord's deliverance. And that's what he speaks. And then he just praises the Lord for his faithfulness. And in praising the Lord, that strength stirs inside of him so that as we get to the end of the psalm, he's no longer talking about those who are who are planning and have instituted his fall and his destruction. He's not speaking those words. What he's saying is, as a matter of fact, he's saying this as a statement of fact. For they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt. This is exactly what he said back in verse number 13. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. By the end of the psalm, he's saying, for they, those people, those ones who have planned his destruction and implemented his destruction, even as he said, as he spoke, he said, let them be ashamed. Let them be consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor. And at the very end, he says, for they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt. He spoke it back in the beginning of the psalm, but by the end of the psalm, he's speaking it as though it's already done. See, this is what a great lesson this is for us as we go through our life. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what this week has. I don't know what's been lingering in your life that seems like it's bringing about your destruction, either your financial destruction, your physical destruction, your marriage destruction, your work destruction, your relationship destruction, even the peace of mind destruction. I don't know what the enemy has done or what life has brought into you that speaks to you of this imminent destruction. I don't know. But I know that we can learn from what we see from Psalm 71. Even though it appears that those things, listen, if you're facing a legal battle and it looks like it's impossible, and it looks like everything is right now conspiring against you, it looks impossible, have the same response, attitude and response, and actions of the psalm writer of Psalm 71. Because faced with the imminent destruction already being implemented against him, he did two things. First of all, he spoke what he believed the word of God was. He spoke what he believed the Lord would do for him. He spoke what he believed was his promise. He spoke what he intended to see done. He spoke it. Then he praised the Lord. Even though he had no frame of reference, nothing to show him or demonstrate that anything had changed, yet he still praised the Lord. Now think about this in regards to whatever you might be facing today. Because when we get news or information that tells us that something is leading to imminent downfall, destruction, harm towards us, we curl up in a ball and just try to shelter ourselves against the onslaught of the enemy's attacks and hope that we can survive it. How does that work for us? Look back to your life and how many times have you done that? How's that worked out for you? Probably not very well. We should follow the example of Psalm 71. Because we've got better promises, we've got a better covenant with better promises than anyone in the Old Testament. We have a better covenant and better promises. Find those promises of redemption. Find those promises of deliverance. Find those promises that say that you're a victor. And then you speak those things. You speak those words of promise. You speak those things. And as you speak those things, then you begin to praise God. Speak the victories of Jesus Christ in your life. Speak the victories. If it's a legal thing, speak the victories. Don't wait to see them to speak them. You speak them in advance and praise God for it. If it's a health thing, don't wait for your body to be healed. The word says that by your stripes you are healed. That's what you speak. You speak what the word says. By your speaking the word with faith, what you're doing is you're enforcing what Jesus has already done, but you enforce it. It's done in the spiritual realm, but you enforce it and make it a reality in the natural realm. You speak it and you praise God for it. If it's a financial issue and they're coming to take your home or your car or something like that, even if they've already implemented the process, speak the promises of God's faithfulness and abundance and meeting your needs and then praise Him for it. You know, when you go through the action of praising God in those times, that praising God stirs up our faith within inside of us. So we speak the truth and we praise Him. As you look at Psalm 71, he saw what was unstoppable in the natural. What was imminent was already beginning, his destruction and his demise. He saw that, and yet he spoke something else. He said, as for me, I'm going to speak this truth. I'm going to speak this promise, and I'm going to believe it. And because I believe it, I'm going to start praising the Lord. This is what I choose. And then by the end of the psalm, there's opportunities to praise God so stirred his faith, so strengthened him, that by the end, even though nothing's changed, he knew what the end was going to bring, which was the destruction and the humiliation of those who came against him. This is a lesson that we should be able to apply in our lives as well. So what are you faced with today? Here's what we do. Speak the promises of the Word of God over that situation and start praising him for it. And then by at some point today, you're going to find yourself already thanking God for what's done even before you see it.